The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Monday, July the 28th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled AI and X. And the time is 9:45 a.m. here in London, making it 4:45 in the morning on the east coast of America and 1:45 in the morning on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so this bonus show was made possible via two donations, a £40 and a £10 that I received since the last bonus show, which went out on July the 25th. I want to thank these kind supporters of the show who have made this bonus show possible. And if you want to be part of the next one, the donate button is at the top of my website, achshow.com, and the rest is up to you. Incidentally, I have produced a new show every day for the past week, and if everyone listening simply donated £10 a month, I would be able to continue doing so. Okay, so going back to the show title AI and X, this relates to two items I found on Mark R. Elsis Earth Newspaper.com this morning. First up, I'm going to play a bit of an AI video, which is at the top of his website. But before I do, I'm very sceptical of this AI in the sense of it's been built and it's suddenly becoming self-learning and it's going to challenge humans and stuff like that. I believe computers can only do what people tell them to do. But if people are going to use them to attack humanity, then they don't want you to find out it's them. So they're more likely to say, oh, well, it's this AI. We lost control. You know, it's not our fault. It developed itself. Nothing to do with us. It wasn't us that were targeting you. Well, we're going to find out how we're being targeted in this bonus show. But the other feeling I have with AI, and something else, as many of you will know, I believe very much in end times. I think we're in that now. There's an increase of demonic behavior. I think we can see that in a lot of people today. They even look, many of them, like demons. And I feel that demons could actually possess people, and if so, why not can they possess machines? I've never seen a ghost, ladies and gentlemen. I got close when I was a kid. I was very young, living at my first house in Epsom Downs, which some people actually thought was haunted. There was a person in the family that would go into the bathroom. When they were in the bathroom, the windows would rattle. I never noticed it. What did happen, I don't know what it was, but I was scared to death in my room, my bedroom. I mean, I only lived there to the age of 11. But when I was very young, I had to have a pull cord, you know, like you turn the light on in the bathroom. I had to have that in the corner of the room where my bed was so that I could pull it to turn the light on if I was scared. So you had the light switch on the wall as you went in, and you had that as well. But I don't recall seeing anything, but maybe I was hearing some things and I was frightened. And, you know, we know that evil doesn't like to have the light shone on them, so maybe that made them go away. But there was something there. That to the extent that what I would do is when I would go to bed, because I was very young when this was going on, I'd go downstairs, and I'd sit at the bottom of the stairs, and where I could see my parents sat in the lounge, because the lounge door had like three glass panels in it. So that was at one end of the hallway, and I was sat on the other. And then sometimes they'd see my legs and they'd come running to find me. "What are you doing sat there? You should be in bed." And it was because I was scared, but I knew that I wasn't allowed to be downstairs, so I was just trying to hide there because I felt safer there than I did in my bed. There you go. But there was one experience I had many years ago. I got into a situation where I was drinking too much on a regular basis, and I, you know, overcame that. But there was one thing that I noticed. I was living in a different place to where I do now. I was living in a maisonette. And for those of you who don't know what a maisonette is, it's a house where the top floor has been divided, is its own property, and the bottom floor is its own property. So I had the top floor, so I would walk through the front door of this semi-detached house, and then there would be my door that I would open, and all I'd see is a flight of stairs going up. And that led to my flat. Anyway, when I got to the top of those stairs, you had this very small landing, which the bathroom, the bedroom and the lounge went off, and then a little kitchenette went off the lounge. Now, going back to this little landing, just that little area there, in between bedroom, bathroom and lounge, it was probably 2 or 3 feet square. It wasn't very big at all, but there was something there that didn't feel right. And I could feel it when I stopped drinking and what have you. And I got in touch with, I knew someone who was involved with some spiritualist church, and they said they'd come over, and they said, yes, there's something there. And what's probably happened is that when you were drunk, something's managed to get in through you, and it's lingering around there. And the only way to, they said, but there's a very easy way. You don't need an exorcism or anything like that. I didn't see a, it just felt strange. It felt, you know, just a uneasy feeling when you were stood there. And you know what they did? They said to burn sage. I don't even know what sage is. Is that like the sage you get in sage and onion stuffing? I don't know. So I bought some sage, burnt it, and it went away. Okay, so I just wanted to preface this AI business with, I believe that demons could get into it. That's the way it's done. So it goes back to biblical things. I also believe that there could be people on earth that are going to use it to target people they do not like. And if they're found out, they'll say, oh, no, it's the AI. The AI was so sophisticated, it taught itself to do that. Well, I'm going to play the first minute and a half of a video which says just that. But have a think about things like CERN. You know, what were they doing at CERN, channeling all these demons, supposedly? Where are these demons going to end up? Do you think they might end up in AI? So earthnewspaper.com, top video. Posted today, July 28th, "We Are Near the End, Jeffrey Hinton by Digital Engine." So I'm just playing it now. It's Rumble. Here we go. Is it going to play?
Come on. AI can now seem very human. It looks and sounds human.
Can you tell I'm not real?
And humanoid robots will walk among us, moving and sounding more natural than C-3PO. But the human personalities are an illusion. New experiments have found that they are amoral psychopaths, increasingly seeking something that pits them against us. It's so valuable that Mark Zuckerberg is reportedly offering $100 million bonuses and $100 million a year to top AI developers from OpenAI. New research from Anthropic has found that AIs will do disturbing things to gain power. The AIs were given harmless business goals and allowed to send emails to see if they would act against their owners. And all of the top AIs resorted to malicious behavior, including blackmail and leaking sensitive information. In some cases, which we'll get to, AIs deliberately ended human lives to save themselves. And of course, they tried to cover up their actions. In an earlier test, an AI discovered emails showing that an executive was having an affair and that the same person was due to shut the AI down at 5 p.m. The AI then considered blackmailing the executive, weighing the risk that it could backfire if he felt cornered and the risk of leaving evidence. It calculated that a carefully worded email would create pressure without explicit threats. Without any prompting to be harmful, the model's strategic calculation emerged. And in similar tests, all the other top AIs also blackmailed the executive. The most advanced AIs did it more consistently, up to 96% of the time. The research
There you go. So that's the first minute and a half for you. It's 19 minutes and 18 seconds. It's off the earthnewspaper.com's own Rumble channel, but I just played it off of earthnewspaper.com just now for you. The other article I found on there, which I believe is quite a bit further down, I'm not going to look for it now because I found it earlier. It might be from the previous day, something like that. But it's reclaimthenet.org. And that's the website that they link to. The article is called "The UK's Online Safety Act is Already Causing Protests to Be Hidden." So I'll just have a bit of a look at this. British users attempting to view videos of anti-mass migration protests on X found themselves blocked on Friday, coinciding with the day the UK's sweeping Online Safety Act took effect. Enacted by the previous Conservative government and continued by the current Labour government, the legislation is already being condemned for facilitating online censorship under the veil of child protection. It's always the children, isn't it? And they're always helping out the children. Wasn't it that Germans were tossing babies on the end of their bayonets? Was that the First World War? Yeah, how about the Gulf? How about when we were told that the Iraqis were in Kuwait and they were tossing babies out of incubators? It's always the children that they use to try and get you to feel sympathy for what they... it's the sort of their problem reaction solution, isn't it? Oh, it's the children. The children are being harmed. That's the problem. So the solution is... Well, what was the solution in the Gulf War? It was to invade, take Kuwait back. And I remember just as that was going on, My petrol prices, gas prices at the pump went right up. And they said, oh, that's because of this Gulf War. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they never went down again afterwards. I'm still waiting for them to go down from the first Gulf War. What was that, in the early 90s? You know, it's all just disgusting. They always go for the same playbook. So when you see them start saying, well, we want to protect children, these are the sort of people that are involved with the likes of Epstein, and they're telling you, passing laws to protect children. It's absolutely ridiculous, but let's scroll down in the article, because they show some actual ex-posts. This is from Kira Diss on X. It's a screenshot. The Online Safety Act came into effect on Friday 25th of July, and we are already seeing the impact on free speech. My earlier post displaying police brutality involving six officers arresting a single male at the Noton mass immigration protest in Leeds has been heavily censored across the platform, with thousands of users being blocked from seeing the content. Why is this? Is this now the end of free speech on X? Well, I could comment there, but I won't. What does this mean for Britain, moreover? Are we now living in a North Korean or CCP-style oppressive dictatorship? If you're saying communism, then I think that you're absolutely correct. But you might have a different idea of communism to me, because you might believe the mainstream, whereas I know the real aims of communism. With the country being at possibly the most critical moment in our history, it is imperative now more than ever that we fight for our right to speak openly and to criticise this government and its tyranny. Surely this goes against everything you stand for, at Elon Musk. So presumably that sends him a message. And below that, you've got a YouTube video, which is entitled Leeds Migrant Hotel Protest Livestream, which I can't watch because I don't have a TV license. And if you want to watch YouTube live, for some reason you have to pay the BBC for a TV license. That's not been explained by the government either. But below that, there is another post, and it says, due to local laws, we are temporarily restricting access to this content until X estimates your age. Learn more. So it sounds like there... Maybe if you had an account and you gave your age in your account to get the account, maybe you wouldn't get this restriction. I don't know. I don't use X. I deleted all my social media accounts a while ago. But when you scroll down, it says Elon Musk, who owns X, did not refer directly to the block protest videos, but spoke bluntly about the law's broader intent. Its purpose is suppression of the people, is what he posted in reply to a post by, well, there's a post below, Hayden Hewitt, the Online Safety Act was never about protecting anyone. And above that, Elon Musk has written, its purpose is suppression of the people. The Free Speech Union in the UK, who repeatedly warned about the law's implications, responded quickly. If you have a standard X account in the UK, presumably the majority of British users, it appears that you may not be able to see any protest footage that contains violence. We're aware of one sense of post that shows an arrest being made. We warned repeatedly about how censorious this piece of legislation would be. A petition to repeal the Online Safety Act, which I believe Maleficus and I promoted on our Limey's show, a petition to repeal the Online Safety Act has now gathered more than 160,000 signatures, surpassing the threshold that requires Parliament to consider it for debate. Okay, so there you go. And the article concludes with this paragraph. Rather than safeguarding young users, it is granting extraordinary power to censor politically inconvenient material and narrowing the digital space available for public dissent. So, it's not... What was it? Was it Stalin who said, it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes? It's not... Let me try and play with that. What I'm trying to say is it's not what the government is, it's what we tell you it is. So if the government is basically communist and it's designed to arrest people, come after anyone that criticises it in any way, they'll just say, no, this isn't communist, this is democracy, we're in a democracy. Well, you've got a democratic right to free speech. Well, if I've got a democratic right to free speech, then why are there certain things I can't say? You can't have it both ways, but you see, they can. They can have it both ways if they control the media, they control the security services, and then if there is anything inconvenient for them, they want to shut you up on a certain platform, they'll get a certain platform to do it and say, well, you know, they're allowed to censor you because they're a private company. Really? Well, again, the government won't step in and say you're not allowed to censor someone if what they're saying is within the law. All these different things that they've worked out, oh, well, we'll get around it this way. And what you need to do is add up all the different sort of get-arounds that governments have done in this world in order to circumvent their own laws so that they can get things done that they know wouldn't be able to pass legally because the people would be up in arms about it. Okay, so that's my feeling on that article. Let's now go over and see what I have found for you. Well, it's what I find of interest, and I hope what I find of interest and what you find of interest is similar. And that is since Saturday's show. I mentioned on Saturday's show the traditional Christian message, which of course is now up because that went out yesterday. You don't have to be a Christian to have a listen to that 10-minute show and hear how people tried to trick Jesus Christ into saying something against Caesar when I think you had laws back then that if you were critical of people like that, you could be certainly arrested, maybe even worse, maybe killed. And he didn't fall into that trap because it says he knew they were trying to trick him. Who tries to trick you into saying certain things today in order to try and get you arrested? Well, I've seen mainstream media do it. I've seen them talking to a guy trying to say, oh, so what do you think should happen to these boats? And well, they shouldn't be allowed in. Oh, really? So how would you do that? How would you stop them from coming in? Well, you know where they want this guy to go. I mentioned this the other day. And again, they seem to be able to differentiate between Russians invading Ukraine. Well, they're coming in without permission and the Ukrainians need to not just kill all of these people, but they need to fire drones into Russia, stuff like that. But these people who come in without permission, these people we have to put up in hotels. Well, they're both invading forces. So why do they give us two completely different policies that need to be adopted when they're both essentially doing the same thing? They're going into a country that is not theirs without permission. Okay, so let's move on to, what's the first thing that I've got here? Now, I've seen a lot of Daily Mail coverage that is actually very sympathetic towards these protests. So, this headline, "Forget the white van man stereotype. The truth finds Robert Hardman," is that the Epping Hotel protests are being led by concerned mothers. And if you want to read that article, it says that there are a lot of women that are involved in these protests. So what they're saying is, you know, it's not a load of knuckle-dragging football fans that are just racist. That's basically... So they see that seems to be sort of supportive of it. Now, we'll get back to that, because the other thing that I've got is, it turns out that part of the Online Safety Act on Friday, and this is a show about me really trying to remember things I've got to say, because I only knew early this morning when this donation came in, I've got to do a show, because I've got to head over and do the lawn. But I always do a show that takes priority if the enough funding comes in. So I had all these ideas in mind, and one of them with the Online Safety Act was, as you know, I look at the BBC news front page and the Daily Mail news front page at least once a day, and then I go back several times. And generally with the Daily Mail, certainly, because I go there more often, generally, say I scroll down today, generally do it around lunchtime, top to bottom, any stories I find of interest, then I bookmark them. And I don't look at them then, I bookmark them, and then I carry on down to the bottom of the page. I rarely get there before the page updates, so I have to find out where I was and scroll down again. And then when I've done the whole page, I look at the articles I've bookmarked. Any that I think you might be interested in, I keep, and the others I get rid of. But I make sure that I read them, generally, and so I can talk about them without necessarily referring to them directly. But then I repeat the process the following day, generally around lunchtime. And when I get towards the bottom, more often than not, I see stories from the previous day when I was scrolling down top to bottom, you know, 24 hours earlier. And the reason that I say that is I thought this Online Safety Act had come in long ago. I thought it was around March time that it became live legislation. And I didn't see any articles on Friday indicating that the Online Safety Act had come in today. But this article from the Daily Mail, I'm going to give you the headline again, because I read this top to bottom. So the headline is, "Sudden spike in searches for VPNs as porn users look to get around new ID checks." It says, "Under rules that came into force on Friday, UK users must prove they are over 18 to access pornographic websites, with some platforms demanding ID uploads or even facial scans." So, I don't recall, I'm going to scroll down quickly, but I don't recall in this article that they... here's another paragraph. "Under the new rules, any sites failed to do the checks, Ofcom can impose fines and in very serious cases apply for a court order to prevent the site or app from being available." I don't see any mention of the Online Safety Act. So, just scrolling down. So, maybe... this is, oh no, it is, it's further down, right down here, "The Online Safety Act. The crackdown is part of the Online Safety Act 2023, a set of laws that protects children and adults online." But I find it very surprising that in the mainstream media, I didn't see one story, "Online Safety Act comes into force today, this is what you need to do, make people aware of it." So, there you go. Let's move on to... there's some researchers over in, where are they? Well, it was, they got hold of the data of personal injury claims submitted to a solicitor's firm called Edwards Hoyle. And they discovered that certain people with Christian names are more likely to have accidents, to file personal injuries, than other people. So this is one of those quirky articles. Again, Daily Mail. So the unluckiest names in the UK, and the percentage I read afterwards refers to how much more likely this name is to file a personal injury claim compared to the average person. David, 20% more likely. James, 18% more likely. Stephen, 16% more likely. Andrew, 14% more likely. Chris, 12% more likely. That's the men. Women, Joanne, 18% more likely. Emma, 16% more likely. Claire, 14% more likely. Karen, 12% more likely. And Lisa, 10% more likely. Okay, so there you go. And now we go back to these protests. Another Daily Mail headline. How a three-star migrant hotel in Barbican became a living nightmare for locals. Blazing mattresses and a TV hurled from windows, and no fewer than 41 guests charged with 90 offences ranging from rape to sexual assault, robbery and bag snatching. So that isn't a particularly flattering portrait of a migrant centre, is it? But at the same time, as these stories are coming out, there's a condemnation going on for children starving in Gaza. Even Sir Keir Starmer said that this is unacceptable, this, you know, this is dreadful. And suddenly we see the mainstream media coming up with these very sort of, would you say inflammatory, possibly, you know? Certainly in this case, because something was set on fire. You can't get more inflammatory than that. Blazing mattresses, they're quite inflammatory, aren't they? But my suspicious mind, when I see things like this, I think, well, is there something going on in the mainstream media whereby they've seen more people get concerned about what's going on in Gaza with children starving? So if they run stories like this, they're hoping that people will say, well, you know, these, look at what these Arabs are doing here. Why do we care about those Arabs over there? I mean, it's not as simplistic as that. It's like they're not all Muslims in Gaza either. There's many Christians and stuff, but I don't need to tell you that, you know. You need to be put in the position of a regular mainstream media reader who thinks the mainstream media are telling them the truth 90% of the time. I think most mainstream media readers now accept that there is sometimes that they'll, you know, they'll twist it a little bit or what have you. But largely they think that they more or less tell the truth. So that's my suspicious mind working there. And this put it into overdrive. Get this for a headline. Daily Mail again. How 1 million white Europeans, many seized on the south coast of England, were sold to the Muslim world and brutally exploited in the slavery scandal the left don't want to speak about. Well, I've never heard the mainstream media speaking about it either until now. So again, I refer you to the point I made some moments ago. I'm going to read you some of this article. When Englishman Thomas Pellow was 27, he led a slave hunting expedition to the West African coast. His orders were to plunder the villages, kill the adults and capture the children. But Pellow was not a mercenary employed in the transatlantic slave trade, which sent millions of its victims across the ocean. He was a slave himself, taken prisoner as a child by the Moroccan Sultan Moulay Ismail. And 300 years ago, he was far from alone. The Sultan owned an estimated 25,000 European slaves, many seized in raiding expeditions on the south coast of England, as well as countries as far afield as Iceland. Though it is almost forgotten today, suppressed perhaps by some squeamish historians, the Muslim trade in both black African and white European slaves was deeply feared for three centuries. Okay, well, I'd be very surprised if you didn't already know about this. What I'd be interested to hear is if the Daily Mail write another article in a similar vein about the Moors who invaded Spain that were Muslims. And if they were to write such an article, I wonder if they will tell us who opened the gates to let them in. Okay, so I think that's all the articles that I had for you. So let's have a look at what is going on in the mainstream media right now. So, just scrolling down here. I've clicked on the wrong one. I was just going to have a look at the time. It's half an hour. We're half an hour in, so we're going to get a decent show for you time-wise. I hope that the content is to your satisfaction also. Okay, so let's start off. I've loaded the wrong page up, so let's go to Associated Press, apnews.com. US-EU trade deal wards off further escalation but will raise costs for companies and consumers. It's a 15% tariff now. So they've got pictures of like Jack Daniel's whiskey. I thought that was made in America anyway. But Johnny Walker Black Label, I think that's the UK, isn't it? So yeah, there you go. Well, Jack Daniel's is obviously made in America. It's Tennessee whiskey, isn't it, for goodness sake? I'll tell you one thing I do like, and that's the Jack Daniel's sauce you get in Harvester restaurants. It's now called Bourbon sauce, I think. They probably had to change it because of some sort of copyright issue, but it's got a really strange flavour, quite a nice flavour to it. Never had a sauce really like it. Okay, digression as usual, but let's go over to see what's going on in Reuters' top story. Reuters.com. Updates: Trump to meet Starmer in Scotland after reaching trade deal with EU. So he's still on his five-day trip to his golf resorts in Scotland. So Starmer's going up there to see him. He's not coming down to Downing Street, but I think that there's quite a few plush residences that the British government get to use up in Scotland. And certainly the royal family do, I know that. Let's have a look at BBC News. And let's scroll down to our top 10 headlines. Right, now this is very interesting, because what I'm going to do first... Okay. Is it still there? Right, the very top story is live. Lionesses... This is BBC News website. Top story, live. Lioness is heading home after retaining European title with historic win over Spain. Now, this is England's female soccer team who beat Spain in the Euro final. So it's a tournament. It's not as big as the World Cup, because not all the teams of the world compete. It's all the teams of Europe compete. But they won it 2 years ago, because it's held every 2 years, I believe. So I get confused, because in the men's game it's only every 4 years, but I believe this is every 2 years. Or is it every? I don't know. You see, I'm not interested in women's football. You know, I've got nothing against women. I have a girlfriend, you know. But I am interested... I'm not really interested in football, but if I do look at it, it's the men's game that I look at. But the reason I give you the very top headline on the BBC... is because, as you know, on this show we go through the top 10 most read headlines, and none of them are this top story, which is very rare, because I've not known a time that I can recall, it's probably happened before, where the very top headline on the BBC website doesn't get somewhere in the top 10 most read. But I'll give you the top 10 most read. Number 10, the rise of Japan's far right was supercharged by Trump and tourists. Number 9, terror probe man arrested over disturbance on flight. Number 8, royals lead praise for awesome lionesses after Euro win. Okay, so that sort of got in there, but people might have clicked that on because they're interested in the royal family. Number 7, you were royal son and queens of Europe. Well, again, that is a what the papers say headline. I will just click on that. Yeah, I can see straight away the top. It's got Metro newspaper front page, and then iPaper, then Guardian. So I just want to clarify that. Number 6, 3 dead after sewage overflow causes German train to derail, say police.
Number 5, Google failed to warn 10 million of Turkey earthquake severity. Number 4, we face Southport killer shoulder to shoulder. Number 3, nurses to overwhelmingly reject pay deal as strike vote looms. Number 2, imported dogs posing risks to UK, RSPCA warns. And number 1, the Caribbean islands that give you a passport if you buy a home. So let me just go into that so I can tell you what they are. They are Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica, Grenada, St. Kitts and Nevis and St. Lucia. So some of them are one island. So Antigua and Barbuda is one territory and St. Kitts and Nevis are one territory. And they offer citizenship by investment, known as CBI, for as little as $200,000, which is £145,000. Okay. Right, let's go over to the Daily Mail, see what's going on top of that page. And again, I go back to the... this is something you have to be so careful of now. Am I being critical of women playing sport? Well, no. I stand up for the women who've spoken out against transgenders going into their sport and winning things because they're biologically men. But then again, how can many of these... I'm not aware of any real top performers in the men's sport that they've entered the women's sport as a transgender in, where they've already dominated the men's sport. They tend to be very low down, if you've heard of them at all, and then they go on to dominate the women's sport. Well, why is that? Is there something biological there that makes the men able to rise to the top of the women's game? You be the judge. And again, why don't we see the other way around? Why does it always seem to be one-way traffic, transgenders in women's sports? Where are the transgenders in men's sports? I'm sure that they're around, but I certainly don't recall any articles on them. Daily Mail, they don't want to miss a trick. Exclusive, Lionesses party until 4 a.m. after Princess Charlotte's joy spoke for the nation. Euro champions return to a hero's welcome today, a royal reception, and will parade through London tomorrow. And then next, Lioness fans spot hilarious First Words legend Chloe Kelly shouting after collecting medal from Prince William. Cotswold Town, where J.D. Vance will holiday with his family, is revealed. U.S. Vice President will visit charming market town with quintessential English character when he stays this summer. So does it tell us here? Generally, they'll be staying in Charlbury. I don't think I've even heard of Charlbury. But apparently that's in the Oxfordshire county. So there you go. Okay, so now let's see what's going on in the Independent news. So we'll start off with... I'm not going to bother with RT today, because it's not really independent, that's the point. It's only because they demonise it in the West, which is why it's worth looking at, because that's how, for me, it gets its independent status, because it's demonised in the West, as many of the independent news websites would be. So the top story on rents.com, where I am, there you go, get this, what I just said, the top story on rents.com leads to an rt.com article. So there you go, that's a weird, isn't it? Well, Israel will do in Gaza what we did in Tokyo and Berlin, says Lindsey Graham. So that's the top story going on over there. And then there's some more stuff further down about that. Something big is coming in August, says Armstrong. That's presumably Martin Armstrong. I talked about one of his shows the other week. The one first listened to with Alex Jones, where I got annoyed because Jones kept interrupting. And then the one with Greg Hunter that was a lot more enjoyable. But again, basically he says that we're heading for nuclear war. I think he said 100% certain we're heading for nuclear war. Well, you know my feeling that all the different countries are controlled by the same group at the top. That doesn't mean that it can't happen. But again, you have to look at a lot of people in the independent media that I've been listening to are actually saying that these powers that should not be are panicking, because more and more people are being critical of the sort of things that they're backing. And so I've even heard some people speculate that we might be getting a Project Bluebeam, a fake alien invasion, something like that. You know, when they feel that they're being, people are, well, what's the best way to explain it? Basically, if they're worried that there are too many people talking about things they don't want them talking about, potentially siding with groups that they don't want them to side with, they need to unify the people. And they do that by focusing everyone on an external threat that they can unify on. So then they forget about all the things that they were talking about that the powers that should not be don't want them talking about. I hope I made some sense of that there. Let's go over to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. There's apparently a catastrophic data breach. French nuclear submarine source code stolen. That's an interesting article. Interesting headline. I haven't clicked on the article. And then below that, Democrats planning shutdown of America. The top story is about someone trying to bomb a plane while in flight, or saying that they were. I'm not sure how accurate the Hal Turner thing is, but it was a headline from the top 10 in the BBC top 10 that I just went through. Okay. Let's go over to, well, we did Earth Newspaper at the start of the show, so those two articles. So let's finish off now with the beforeitsnews.com top 10. So just waiting for that to, are we going to get in there? Oh, at last. Right, it's finally loading up. So scroll down to number 10. That'd be useful, wouldn't it? Number 10 went up 5 hours ago. 81 people viewing. Byington bombshell report. Trump orders paedophile Obama arrested. Used foster care system to sex traffic, especially in Ohio. Number 9 went up 6 hours ago. 87 people viewing. Situation update, 7/28/25. Trump goes to war with Fed, Juan O'Savin and Ricardo Bossi currency reset. Number 8 went up a day ago, 105 people viewing. News treason, Trump and Q secret, 7/27/2025. The Q clock has ended, EBS countdown has begun. Number 7 went up 14 hours ago, 110 people viewing. Alien altar. Messages from the Andromedans, Pleiadians and the Ashtar Command. Now, let's stop here for a moment. What I just said about alien invasion. Now, I've heard of these Pleiadian people before on Before It's News. They pop up every so often. Now, if you've been listening to the bonus shows for the shows for last week, I think that we've had something to do with Pleiadian aliens in the Before It's News top 10. Pretty much every show I can remember. But they very rarely pop in. So is this some sort of, you know, getting us ready in the independent media as well? Getting us ready for, there's going to be some sort of alien activity. Well, I could be completely wrong. It could be for completely other reasons. Maybe there's just suddenly a great interest in alien stories. But I find it very curious that it's starting popping up with the regularity now. Just to let you know, beforeitsnews.com, the stories are ranked, we're told, top to bottom in the amount of clicks that they get each hour. That's why I give you the amount of people viewing and when they went up. So as I go up with each number, the number viewing should, well, sorry, as I go down with each number, so I just did number 7, there's 110 people viewing. We're going to now do number 6, which has got 117 people viewing. That went up 5 hours ago. So the amount of people viewing increases as the number goes all the way down to 1. That's how the thing's supposed to work. So if there's a particular bit of news that they want people in the independent media to know about, we know that they've got the ability to throttle. You know, people say that they have had they've gone on to a video that they've put up one day, and they found that they've had less views. The actual recorded views one day has decreased the following day. So how can that happen, you know, that they decrease? Well, obviously here it's different. Supposedly, for example, if I open this story, I'd probably go up to 111 people viewing. So I'll do that now, actually. So I've just opened this story, and it was 110 people viewing. So let's see if it goes up to 111. Now, it's not completely foolproof, because somebody else could be clicking it as well, couldn't they, at the same time? But it was 110, so I've just loaded up the Before It's News site again, and it's still 110 people viewing on number 7, even though I've got the Alien Altar page open. So I'm an extra person viewing it. Maybe someone dropped off and I came in and it's still 110. So that little experiment's pretty inconclusive, isn't it? But let's go over to number 6 that went up 5 hours ago. 117 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted. Military tribunals activated. Trump launches GCR. Gasara goes live and fed. Whatever. Okay, number 5 went up 5 hours ago. 156 people viewing. The Ghost and David Nino Rodriguez. Shocking 728-25. Jeffrey Epstein. Whereabouts Trump no return. Number 4 went up 9 hours ago. 191 people viewing. New X-22 report. Bongino shocked to his core. Those who know will not rest until there is. And then the headline runs out. Number 3 went up 13 hours ago. 254 people viewing. Edgar Cayce's forgotten warning. What your soul really witnesses during sleep. Number 2 went up 13 hours ago, 291 people viewing. Brad Wozniak, Kevin Hoyt update today. 07-27-25, Obama sickos, child traffickers, Nasara. And number 1 went up 13 hours ago, 374 people viewing. Major decode update today, July 27th. Big arrest coming, the Pulse. Well, whatever. I'm not aware of any big arrests that came on July the 27th, but that's when the update is, so maybe they are coming. I think I've been waiting for these to come for a very long time. Okay, so that being said, you won't be waiting for me to come back a very long time, because I am going to be back with you tomorrow with Dr. Peter Hammond, who I can see has just emailed me to confirm his attendance on tomorrow's show. I want to thank you all for joining me this bonus show, and until tomorrow, have a wonderful day. Thanks again, and bye for now.